could be done and do all that and make it function that way. Okay, but that's just something that, you know, part of what I wanted to do was to be able to improve upon that process. As a young man, even as a teenager, my mom was convinced I was going to be a mechanical engineer, okay, because I loved to build things. I was always out in Dad's shop. We were farmers, and Dad had this big shop and a welder and vices and all this metal and equipment and all these things, and I was always out building something, making, you know, a toy or, you know, whatever I could come up with. Well, I noticed that being a farm kid, we're farming, right, and so We would take the tractor and you back up to a piece of equipment, and in order to hook the two together, there's what's called a pin. Okay, you have to drop a pin in. And if you're backing up a big four-wheel drive tractor to a great big plow, that plow pulls really hard. And so the pin would be almost as big as a can of pop. I mean, it's a lot longer, but really big around because it needed to hold a lot. Well, if you're backing up a smaller tractor or that same tractor to a smaller piece of equipment, to a the feeder wagon or the hay baler or something like that, you would not need that big of a pin, okay? And so then you would go in the next day or week or whatever, maybe you're backing up to the hay rake or, you know, a drag or something that pulled real easy, and those pins are only about as big around as your index finger, you know? So it's just a different size pin. Well, I got tired of having to always go to the shop to find a new pin, or to always have to go and dig around through the toolbox in the back of the pickup, trying to find the right size one, or going to, you know, at least on the tractor, most of the time we had a little toolbox welded to the side, and in there, you're digging through and pulling out all the wrenches, digging for that pin that, you know, must be in there somewhere, and sometimes it's not, then you're off to the shop to go find one. So I got tired of doing that, and I thought, why couldn't we just have a universal pin that was built like a cross, that had four different size pins on it, and whichever one you needed, you just flipped to that and stuck it in. Perfect. So I designed one. And I went to the bulletin board, basically, or the notepad, and I drew one out. And I said, here's how it's going to look. We're going to put a hole here for the cotter keys and all these different things, and I designed it. I went as far as calling an invention company, and I got the little packet to get a patent. Okay, because I thought, you know what, this is something every farmer would enjoy this. They got one pin, put it in your toolbox on your tractor, and no matter what you're going to back up to, you've got the pin right there, at least four different sizes, and that should cover everything. Okay, and so I went and I got the patent, and I pulled out the paperwork and started filling it out, and I realized it was going to be a lot of work. Okay, and like sometimes happens, I let the initial amount of work and the cost, I think it was $1,200 or something to get this patent thing started, and I let that deter me from ever sending it in, okay? Not too long after that, somebody designed one, and it hit the market and was very successful, okay? And today, I just, if you've seen the hitches, they call them the ball hitches on the back of cars or trucks, you'll see them, and they've got three different size balls on them. Exact same concept, that would have been mine, I would have came up with that, okay? So somebody else is getting my royalties. And so the whole point of that, okay, I have 2 points to this invention story. Okay, the whole point or the beginning point is don't let that initial stuff deter you. Okay, I could have retired early probably if I'd, you know, had my ducks in a row and kept with that, and maybe we'd have gotten into other things. We could manufacture hitches and a whole nine yards or something. Okay, and Margie would be a lot richer and drive a fancier car than her 2008 van. What? Oh, no, I'd have found you along the way. Amen. She was a pretty good-looking gal, so I need it. Anyway, so that's the first point. Don't let that stuff slow you down and deter you. But really, the main point of invention, okay, and this whole concept of why I'm talking about invention, is that my little invention was pretty simple. Okay, there wasn't a whole lot to it. It was a four-way pin, basically, and it was only about this big old hunk of iron. Farmers would not need an instruction manual to know how to use it. They could walk into the tractor supply or whatever it was, and they'd see that on a shelf, and farmers would instantly know what it was and how to use it. Okay, no instruction, no elaborate instruction manual. Something like that would not even require a small piece of paper that has a diagram on it, kind of with arrows. You know what I mean? You wouldn't even need that for something like that. But many inventions have been made that are much more complicated than that, okay? And the more complicated the invention, the more instructions are going to have to go with that. Okay, Thomas Edison, along with other things, he invented the phonograph, right? Okay, a little record player. Okay, Philips came out with the cassette tape. Some of you don't even know what that is. You might be too young, but okay. Philips came out with a cassette tape. A guy named James Russell invented the compact disc or the CD. Okay, those are becoming rarer as we speak. A European doctor named Jaap Hartson is credited with inventing the wireless Bluetooth technology that is popular today. Okay, I have a little Bose earpiece that's a Bluetooth thing, and if that ever broke, I would have no clue how to fix it. Okay, what would I need to do? I'd either go to the instruction manual, see if there's some troubleshooting, something in that, or I'd have to go straight to the inventor or the manufacturer to find out, can you fix this? Okay? Now relate this to you as a creation of God. Okay? Because God, when he creates things, he runs the whole spectrum between very simple things that is pretty easy to figure out, okay, to very, very complex and complicated things that require a detailed instruction manual so that we know how to use it. Okay, we had a friend tell us the other day at breakfast, she's an older gal, and her son had bought a brand spanking new bumper pull camper. Okay, and bought it on one day at the dealership, and it was this really nice camper. And the whole next day, he spent at the dealership being taught how to use it. Okay, being taught what all the features are, being taught and explained that this is what you do to make this work, and this is how this works, and this is where your fancy this is, and this is where your fancy that is. And he had to go a whole like 8 hours of learning how to use this camper. Okay, now that's complicated. It means there's a lot to it. It's not just, you know, get in and go kind of thing. You need to know how to do this and how to do that to make it all function and flow the way that it's supposed to. Okay, well, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, and he did a pretty good job. Okay, he put things in motion like we always wonder what mosquitoes are for, but God had a purpose for mosquitoes, right? And he gave them, and the birds, some of the birds eat mosquitoes and some don't. Some eat bigger bugs and some this, and some birds like the eagles out there at the river, they eat fish. They swoop down and take them out of the river. God had a way of putting everything together that was, it's complicated. People have tried to make up for it or to duplicate it in some ways. And in some small things, maybe they could. They figured out a long time ago how to seed a cloud and make it produce rain. Okay, for it, rain or snow, at least for a short amount of time. Okay, ski areas, we had friends that ran the one up there in Laramie, and I remember they had a snow machine that literally they would feed this stuff into it and water or whatever, and it would make snow. Okay, so people have figured out some of the smaller details, some of the smaller inventions that God came up with, but never really able to put the whole package together. I mean, this atmosphere, the universe, the galaxy, and beyond, all this stuff is pretty magnificent. And it's so complicated that mankind is never, we're still trying to figure it out. Okay, and yet we're never going to be able to put it all together purposely or, you know, perfectly. Okay, the way that the earth functions is such a complex set of divine circumstances that it is literally impossible to recreate the whole system. Okay, we just haven't figured that out. Okay, well, as complicated as the earth and the universe and the atmosphere and the rain and the sun and the stars and the moon and the way all this stuff functions, the tides that come in and just the way that it works, the birds eating mosquitoes and mosquitoes stinging you and, you know, the whole nine yards. God put it all together and it was very, very complicated. But know this too, that at the very top of his creative and complex ingenuity, God created you. Okay? God put something together that is fantastic, extremely complicated, but it is fantastic. It is outstanding. The miracle of genetics, where genes are passed down from one generation to another. God, I just saw something the other day that said that grandchildren get most of their looks from their, I guess, their maternal grandmother, something like that. You know, I mean, they're starting to figure out. People are trying to figure out how this stuff works. But that is an invention of God. Okay, all the molecules and the cells in your body, how everything fits together. Okay, it's a process that God put in motion. OK, Okay, the growth of a baby in the womb. Okay, the healing of your body, the way that it takes care of itself. I had a cut on my knuckle I busted turning a wrench last week, and it's gone. I didn't do anything to it but clean the dirt and grease out, and it's gone. Okay, God did that. He put my body together in a way that taught it how to heal up and make that go away. Okay, that's God. He is very, very divine in His way of putting things together. Okay, things are so complicated that in some ways it is unexplainable to the human brain. I mean, people just can't quite figure out. They try to imitate it, but we've never been able to fully duplicate that. Well, God knows you intimately because God created you. So just like with my little Bluetooth thing, if it ever broke, I'm like, here you go. Can you work on this? Okay, God created you. So if you've got issues, you've got things in life, you're struggling through something, the inventor, the master, the creator has that solution. He knows how He put you together. Okay? He knows how you tick. He knows what makes you happy and what makes you sad. And yet He knows when you're going through stuff. He knows how you function, how you're feeling in your emotions or your mind. He knows how you operate. He knows what is important to you. He knows what motivates you. He knows what deters you. He knows what steers you in different directions. God knows that stuff about you because He invented you. He created you. Okay, God knows all these details. He knows the number of hairs on your head, which we found out in Bible studies around 100,000 hairs on the average head. Okay, changing by 100 hairs a day. 8 billion people on the planet at one time. God knows all that. Okay, He knows people. Okay, in one breath and moment of time, He spoke all into existence. Okay, that's how massive He is and how awesome He is. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Next scripture says that the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Okay, God created you. Psalm 33, verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Okay, mankind didn't create this planet and earth and all the way that it functions. Mankind couldn't do it. We're just not that smart. Okay, God is. God is the creator. He knows how the universe works. He knows how you work. Okay, He created you, and He's the one that knows how to help you function at your fullest capacity so that you're able to get all those benefits. And He will show you, just like that guy going to the camper dealer, He will show you exactly every feature, every blessing, every good thing that He has in mind for you. Okay, and we want our mind, remember, to line up with God's mind so that we're thinking the thoughts that He wants us to be thinking. God is able to help that to happen. In other words, out of all this, I'm saying that to live like a believer, you're going to have to know God's will for you, okay, and His intended plan for you. Because God wants you to fulfill and accomplish certain things, but He gave you that human brain that will try to figure things out on your own and will try to invent and improve upon and be creative on your own. Okay, but God knows how to do all that, and He has a will for you. He has a good and awesome, a perfect will, the Bible calls it, for you. The Bible tells us that God knows the plans that He has for you. Jeremiah 29, 11. Okay, under the Old Covenant, Isaiah told us that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and His ways are higher than our ways, past finding out. In other words, God is just so massive, we'll never understand. But under the new covenant, under the covenant of God's grace, Jesus tells us in Mark 4, 11, He said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now, you're in a blessed state because of being a believer. So our goal is to live like a believer. Paul told us, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, he said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we receive the Spirit which is of God so that we may freely know the things that are freely given to us by God. Okay, we can know the things of God by the Spirit of God that He gave to us. Again, all part of His invention, all part of His plan for you and I to give you the Holy Spirit so that you could comprehend what He is and wanting to do in and through your life. Okay, His will and how He designed you to function at your very best, His will is right here in His Word. Okay, it is not past finding out for us as a believer. Between a little spiritual discernment and reading of God's Word, you can know God's purpose and plan and will for your life. Okay, because God has that. He wanted to give that to you, and He did give it. Okay, the Word of God gives us not only words and verses that we can quote, okay, that we can speak over our situation. I definitely recommend that. We talked about that last week. But it also tells us the implied Word of God. Okay, it tells us, and let me reword that. It tells us the implied will of God for your life. Okay, the implied will. How does He want you to live like a believer? Let me show you some of what I mean, because the goal of this series is not just for me to be able to tell you that this is God's will for you. I've been doing that for a long time. If you don't know that God loves you, cares for you, wants to use your life, okay, God knows that and you've been told those things. The goal is for you to be able to see clearly in God's Word what God wants for you to be doing so that you can go to God's Word and begin to get that revelation knowledge that you need to be able to take that next step so that you can entreat God's will and His thoughts into your daily life and live it out as part of your life as a believer. Okay, the first thing for starters, you need to know that you are already on the right track. Okay, you're already on the right track. You want to know the will of God? You're already in it. Okay, and it's an easy thing to see. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. See if you can get this. This is the implied will of God. Okay, you want to know what is God's will? We're going to read some of that here in a little bit, but this is not it. But we're going to get to that, because right now I want to show you the implied will of God. Okay, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He is long-suffering to us, or He's patient with us. Not willing that any should perish, but rather that all should come to repentance. So what is the implied will of God? He is not willing that any should perish, but He is willing that all would come to know Him and repent, turn away from other things and turn towards God. Okay, those who are going to perish are those who are not born again. Okay, sin cannot be where God is, okay, and they are incompatible. So the lost, the unregenerate, the one that is not washed clean of every sin will perish in eternal separation from God in hell. That's a fact. It's point blank. Jesus said it many times. Things along that line. He just said what needed to be said. If you remember last week, I actually stopped about halfway through the service to make sure everybody was born again. Because in order to live like a believer, in order to live like a Christian, okay, in order to see and enter the kingdom of God, Jesus said, you must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter in and see and understand the will of God unless you're born again. So if you have called upon the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are in the kingdom. Okay, everybody, let's do this. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, great job. Okay. Okay, you are in the kingdom. Okay, great job. You're on the right track. Okay, that's a good place to start, right? Okay, if you're going to start being in the will of God, let's get in the will of God. And the God's will is not that any of you would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Okay, He is willing that all would come to know Him as their Savior, and you have done that. You have made that choice. You're on the right track. Because listen to this. Coming to the point of repentance and being born again was the most difficult part of your walk with God. Because there are countless people around us today, maybe not in this room, but you know what I mean, out in our families, our workplace, those kind of things that have never made that decision. Okay? There are many people around us today that are resisting the will of God. Because God is not willing that they would perish, but they're resisting against that by not receiving of what He said will save them. Okay? God is willing and wanting for them to be saved. Okay? But they're still serving that God of self. Okay? They're still yielding unto Satan. And unfortunately, they will perish if they do not repent and accept Christ. Jesus said there's only one way. Okay? God gave us detailed instructions on how to fulfill His will. Okay? And it's been passed down for thousands of years now to us. The Word of God itself contains the will of God for humanity. Okay? God put everything in one book, made it as simple as He possibly could. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Okay? He put it out there. He didn't want anybody to perish, so He gave us the Ten Commandments even in the law to point people as a schoolmaster to Jesus Christ. And then He says, whosoever believeth on Me shall not perish. Okay? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes unto the Father except through Me. Okay? It's all in there. The will of God for the lost is in the Bible. Okay? It is in there. His Word contains His will. Okay, here's another. Everybody say this. Say, God's Word contains,
God's word
His will
for me.
The will of God, what God wills for you in your life, is right here. It's in your hand. Okay? There's no need to look any further. Okay? The will of God will not be told to you by CNN, Fox, Facebook, none of those guys. The will of God is going to come from the Word of God. It's from the beginning. It's what He gave us. Remember, what's your very first line? In the beginning, right? Okay, from the very beginning, God was outlining what His will was for humanity. And He started with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He did a miracle so great and beyond anything that you and I could ever come up with to start it off, to say, I'm the inventor, folks. You want to know how to fix stuff? You want to know how to get on the right track? You want to know how to function at your best? It's in here. Because from the very beginning, He put that in there for us. Okay? The simplest definition, you want to know how to live like a believer, how to fulfill the will of God for your life, it's pretty simple. It is to live a life that is pleasing to God. Okay? Because He put His will in there. And I say that as gently as I can, that God wants you to live your life that is pleasing unto Him and live it in a way that pleases Him. Okay? We're not doing it to perform. God is not going to be more, you know, love you more if you do this and don't do that. But God wants you to live a life that is pleasing unto Him. And so if He gave us His will, that must be what is pleasing unto Him. That's why we can go back to it and say, no, God wants me to do this. No, God wants me to live this way. God wants me to do these things. That's why He gave it to us. I'll show you a scripture that sums this up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. He said, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and we exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments that we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is, I said I'd get to this, this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, I'll explain that, that you should abstain from fornication. Next slide, cowboy. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. Okay, I want to read you this passage again out of the Amplified because it explains some of these King James concupiscence kind of words, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 out of the Amplified says, finally, believers. You want to live like a believer? Here's the word to you. We ask and admonish you in the Lord Jesus that you follow the instruction that you received from us about how you ought to walk and please God, just as you're actually doing. Remember I said, good job, you're already there, you're on the right track. He says, follow the instruction that you received from us about how you ought to walk and please God, just as you're actually doing, and that you excel more and more, pursuing a life of purpose and living in a way that expresses gratitude for your salvation. For you know what commandments and what precepts we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, that you be sanctified, separated, and set apart from sin, and that you abstain and back away from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, making yourself or being available for God's purpose and separated from things profane. Not to be used in a lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God and are ignorant of his will. Okay? The lost do not know God's will because they don't read it. Okay? They get stuff quoted, thrown in their face on occasionally, but for the most part, they do not know God's will because they will not take the time to seek God's will and to spend time in God's word looking for it. Okay? As you read this, in other words, as a believer, God has made you different from the lost. Okay, and I want to point out, I left that last scripture there because you don't want to be used in a lustful passion like the Gentiles who know not God and are ignorant of his will. In other words, you are set apart, you are separated from the profane to be available for the purposes of fulfilling God's will. And God's will is that you live differently. Okay? His will is that you live like a believer and not like the lost. That's the basics of this passage. God wants you to live like a believer who knows his will instead of living like an unbeliever who does not know God's will. Not complicated. That's simplifying it, but that's as simple as it is. God wants you to live like a believer. You got saved. Everybody said, yeah, that's me. I accepted Jesus. Okay? So live like that. Okay, and quit living like you're still in the world. Quit living like that is the way that you are and what God created you to be. Okay, God's will is that you live differently, that you live like a believer, not like the lost. The lost do not have faith in God. The lost do not trust in God. The lost do not pray to God. The lost do not go to God. The lost do not read their Bible. The lost do not worship God. The lost do not live their life in a way that is pleasing unto God because they could care less about pleasing God. They're living their life in a way that is pleasing to self. Okay, so to live as a believer, you live like a believer. Okay, that's what God intended for you. Okay, God invented you. Okay, and when you were reborn as a believer, you were upgraded to a very complex model with a divine purpose. Okay, so take the time to look through the instruction manual. Okay, use this as that go-to for everything, like we talked about last week. This is where it's at. God's will for you and his implied will for you is all right here in the Word. This one is a direct quotation. God's will is that you be set apart, that you be sanctified. Okay, God wants you to know you're different. You're a believer. You're not an unbeliever. That's what he's saying. God's will is that you know that you're a Christian. You know that you're a believer and that you begin to live that way. So over the next couple weeks here, a few weeks, we're going to go pretty deep into what God's will is. Okay, we're going to go into what his will is because his will is that you live like a believer. So I want to show you what does it mean to live like a believer? What does that look like? How is life going to be living as a believer? Because I don't want you to settle for less than God's perfect will for your life. Okay, don't settle for second best that, oh, you know, I'm just getting by. You know, God doesn't want that. His will is that you live like you believe in him, and believing in him comes with some pretty good benefits. Okay? It means you're going to see some things happening in your life that are beyond the natural. Okay? Things are provided and taken care of in ways that you'll be turning back to God saying, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? Because you know where that help came from. We don't want to settle for mediocrity, not understanding God's plan for our life. Okay, so seek God's will. His will is in His Word. Okay, God's Word contains His will for me. Okay, and you can say that. God's Word contains His will for you. Okay, it's in there. You're on the right track. You've made that decision. You said, Jesus, I give you my life. I lay down it, take up the cross. I'm following after you. So now He says, live like that. Okay, live it out as a believer in Jesus' name. So Father God, we're praising You this morning. I thank You that, Father, Your Word is such a foundation for us to stand on. And Father, it is a foundation that we will build upon, building upon the rock, building upon Jesus and all of His Word and Your Word, Father, that we will go forth knowing with an understanding of what to do, what Your plan is. You know the plans You have for us, and You've revealed them unto us through Your Spirit. So, Father, as we go forward, I pray that we begin to live out this life that You've called us to, and that we understand it to the point we cannot hold it back anymore, that we just must be a believer. We must live like we believe, and that we walk by faith. We walk not according to sight, that we walk in quoting and understanding Your Word, that we walk in revelations of truth rather than lies, that we trust in You rather than anybody or anything else. And Father, above all, that we know the love that You have for us and that we receive of that and all that You've done for us through Jesus to make us accepted and beloved in the Christ. I thank You, Father. We praise You. We exalt You. We worship You and adore You. And Father, today we entreat You and Your Word. I pray for that part of the implied Word, Father, I talk about. I pray that that gets deep into hearts, that as people read this week, that You will see into the Scriptures what God is intending for you. That you'll see that He was speaking to you as a believer, saying, this is My will for you. And Father, we will entreat this into our life in a way that allows us to live out the differences, that we live out our new creation life in Christ Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.